This episode of Truth Table is brought to you by our NAACP Image Award nominated book, Truth Table, Black Women's Musings on Life, Love, and Liberation. Get it where all books are sold.
Sisters, how y'all feel? Brothers, y'all all right? If this is your first time at Truth Table, welcome to the table. And if you've been sitting at the table with us all these years, we are so grateful that you have been listening to us through these years, and we are inviting you to partner with us and support our work at patreon.com/truthstable. Now pull up a chair and have a seat at the table with us.
Hey y'all, welcome to Truth Table, Midwives and Culture for Grace and Truth. I'm Akemini.
And I'm Christina.
This table is built by Black women and for Black women. So welcome to the table, C. How you doing, girl?
I am doing it okay. We are in the throes of summer. And you know, I know you and I talk a lot about weather on this show because we are people who weather impacts the mood, all the things. But is it just me or is it too hot in the country right now? Isn't it too hot? Something's wrong. Something's broken.
Hot in here. It's getting hot in here. And my AC had the nerve to break at the start of the heat wave. Of course.
I don't understand that. That's a problem.
But you know, I'm actually grateful because this summer has been weird. It was giving October last week.
Listen, so, choose gratitude. I remember a couple of weeks back you were complaining about that, and I was like, hey, now, simmer down.
I'm saying. So I'm grateful. I'm grateful even in the midst of all the heat. But I'm most grateful to not only be here at the table with you, but to also be at the table with a special guest for Still Resisting series. Yes, we are still resisting because there's many things to resist. And we have a special guest, Dr. Stacy N.C. Grant is here at the table. Welcome to the table, Dr. Grant.
Oh my goodness, I'm here with Dr. Kennedy and Dr. What are you talking about? This is the kind of table I like to party. Excited to be here with these two brilliant, melanated, anointed women of God. So I am just thrilled to be able to share this space with both of you. And thank you for holding space. And thank you for keeping the conversation going about our resistance, because God gives us wisdom. Okay,
Come on. Get ready. Get warmed up.
About to tune you up in a minute.
Listen, Kimmy, you've got to let the people know if they don't know. I know this. I know that some of our sisters, especially of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated, absolutely know who this is, and others as well. But would you introduce Dr. Grant properly to our audience?
You know it's my favorite thing to do.
Come on, now it is.
Dr. Stacy N.C. Grant is an award-winning international speaker, master facilitator, best-selling author, influencer, producer, actor, publisher, and celebrity MC. Dr. Grant is living her divine calling to lead, teach, and inspire. Described as God's media ambassador and 21st century communicator, she ignites her audiences with her captivating smile, intoxicating humor, and boundless energy. And we can attest to that, y'all. Dr. Grant is the founder of Destiny Designers University, the only training and development platform for faithpreneurs. Okay, this is a faith-based entrepreneur and faith-based network for professionals who grow their wealth-generating practices around an affinity to God and faith, in caps, by the way. Dr. Grant boldly stands at the intersection of faith and profitable business enterprise. Learn more at destinydesignersuniversity.com. Dr. Grant is a member of the Board of Trustees of the Met, Metropolitan Museum of Art, and interim board chair of the Workshop in Business Opportunity. On July 4, 2022, Dr. Grant became the international president and CEO of Zeta Phi Beta. On July 24, 2022, Dr. Grant became the international president and CEO of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. She is the 26th president of this 105-year-old organization with over 900 chapters across 12 countries. On September 11, 2024, Dr. Grant was selected as the vice chairman of the National Pan-Hellenic Council of Presidents. She is also the past president of the St. John's University Black Alumni Association, member of the Lynx Incorporated Greater Queens New York chapter, and an associate member of Jack and Jill of America, the Queens chapter. Dr. Grant currently resides in Queens, New York with her husband and two sons. With God as her guide, our global community will be better for her service to humanity. Welcome to the table, Dr. Grant, doer of all the things.
Oh, my Lord. I mean, you're going to have to come with me on the road for those introductions. You can really tell the sisters was like, this woman is a Jamaican. So, you know, we have a lot of jobs.
And listen,
listen, talk about representing finer womanhood. I am delighted to have you here today, and that is quite a resume.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, thank you. To God be the glory. I'm clear that, as you know, sitting at this table, creating these truth conversations, we have to let people be free. God gave us multiple gifts, skills, and talents. Nobody needs to put you in a box or tell you what you can and can't do. If God gave it to you, it's for you to multiply, not hide it under the bushel. So I had to learn to be unapologetically me.
Yes. You know, Dr. Grant, you talked about actually just being Jamaican. Can you even talk to us about your origin story? Okay. So let's talk to us about your origin story as a Jamaican woman, and then also a woman of faith, how you came to faith, and then how you found your way into Zeta Phi Beta.
Absolutely. You're asking me a lot about the things I love to talk about the most. Okay. So, you know, I came from a father who was a Pan-African, right? When the Marcus Garvey movement, it's all about knowing who you are and, you know, the Back to Africa movement. My mother, not so much, right? She was a little, she has to assimilate. She needs to know what's going on in culture. So the truth is, I was actually first gen here in the United States, and I went back and forth as a baby, but grew up with my real strong Jamaican heritage, but with an understanding of where we all come from in the diaspora, which is the motherland. And I had an opportunity to be a part of a young adult leadership program in high school that allowed me to dig deep into books like Before the Mayflower, Their Eyes Are Watching God, you know, things that normal high school students wouldn't be reading on their own. And it really exposed me to understanding who I was and from whence I came. And coupled with that, I was fortunate to have my spiritual mom, who was my pastor since 9 years old, from Liberia. So my extended family being from West Africa, Liberia, I know all the food. I know my fufu and soup, my trees, and all my...
The pepper soup, everything.
Talk about it.
So I go in and out of multiple accents because of how I grew up, really understanding all the touch points. And my grandmother on my maternal side, she left me in 2015 at 98 years old. And that was a blessing to have her, to go and be with God, be an angel. I miss her every day. But I had the exact opposite on my paternal side. My grandmother on my dad's side died when he was 13, on his 13th birthday. So we really didn't have that longevity and family relationship on the paternal side. But guess what? I've always felt this Latina part of me. So that's Coco. You get a little bit of Coco. She comes out every now and then. And on that side... we're finding out that there might have been a Jamaican-Cuban mix.
So, I mean, why not?
All the things, right? God made me very uniquely, all of us uniquely formed for what we were called to do. But I embrace all the pieces that have created culturally who I am and how I identify as a woman of color that so many people can relate to because God had a work for me to do. I didn't know what the work was at 5 and 10 and 20 and 30. But our job for those of us of faith is understanding that God knows the plans that he has for you. Your job is to build relationship with him so you can get the revelation on what that plan is. And if you walk in alignment with it, then it opens up doors. So that started my journey of understanding who I was and just my fascination with history and wanting to know more about who we are as a people, that we know we didn't start with the transatlantic slave trade, right? To really go back far enough to understand whence and from whence we came and whose we are. And that led me into just a path as I look back over my life that God was setting me up all along the way, that I could be in leadership positions, that I could be exposed to mentors and to the greats that people sit and say, oh my gosh, I wish I could meet. I've been blessed to be mentored by them. Everyone from Les Brown to Susan Taylor to Dr. George Frazier, you know, people who have impacted and influenced me. And leadership in my organization was something that I did from the time I came in. You said, why did you choose to be a part of, you know, a sorority? Well, let me tell you the truth, ladies. I came from a family that didn't know anything about sororities and fraternities. So my introduction to it was school days. And I said, I'm not a jigaboo or a wannabe, so I don't think that's right. For me. Right? I'm like, this is crazy. Like, what are y'all doing?
Listen, and, to be clear.
Yeah, to be clear. Okay.
And then I had one girlfriend who was talking about an organization because she had family members and associates who were, you know, in the org. And I'm like, I just kind of fanned my hand. I'm like, I don't know. And then when I came on the campus, the ladies of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated weren't trying to recruit me. They were trying to make sure I was assimilating on a predominantly white institution's campus. And that impressed me. And I said, let me see a little bit more about this. Let me do my research. I had a few interactions with the other organizations. And there was something about Zeta that the humbleness of the ladies, they were very friendly. They were open. I was like, they do so much. Why doesn't anybody know about all this great work? Because people made assumptions that I was going to be a part of other organizations following stereotypes. And I was like, that's the worst thing to do with me, honey, because I will do the exact opposite of what knows that I do. I have been that kind of child from day one. So long story short, after I did my research and decided that this is definitely an opportunity for me not to criticize from the outside, but to become a part of a historical tradition and create change from the inside out. And that opened up my eyes to like, oh my gosh, there's so much between service and scholarship and the bond of sisterhood and then the uniqueness of being constitutionally bound with our brothers of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated, which didn't mean that they were controlling us. It meant that they completed us, that from the African tradition, family units are important. So it brings both sides to the table, i.e. truth table, so that we can grow and talk. And that's what was the fire in my belly to serve our organization. I started on a local level. I ended up being the undergraduate to our board, young in my 3-4 years into being a member. And who knew the plans that God had for me to sit in this seat today, to be the 26th woman to carry forth the vision of 5 courageous college co-eds. 2 other organizations existed. What it took for them to have that kind of resolve to say that I believe this to be a divine assignment, because they used to tease our founders and call them the praying band. Oh, they always have a prayer meeting and they're praying. I'm proud to be part of an organization where 5 young 18, 19-year-olds were getting together on campus to pray for direction, to understand that the founding of our organization was built and predicated on a seed that God planted in their hearts from the brothers of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated. And they could have never had an idea of 105 years later that same vision would be moving forward, transforming lives in over 900 chapters across 12 countries on the globe. I mean, that is, wow. God can dream a bigger dream than you can dream. And I get to sit in that seat of their legacy and their dream and carry it forward, knowing that Zeta Women, our MECI, our youth auxiliaries, our Zeta Male Network, understand what I have challenged us to do, which is embrace the extraordinary power of she, advocating for social justice, health justice, and economic justice at home and abroad.
It's an excellent platform. And let me tell you something. You obviously are an excellent representative of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. And I would say just sorority women in general. So it's a gift to us to have you here. And, you know, we think about, I want to you so congruently talk about how your faith informs your work and your rendering of your God-given gifts to be duplicated, is what I think I heard you say a little while back. And that's just a reminder to us to not hoard what God has given us, but to be ready, to be prepared for those things to be duplicated and to have great impact. I want to go back to Kimmy's question a bit though, because I want to hear a little bit about your faith journey, this rich, diasporic, beautiful family that you described. I want to know the role of faith in it and just your journey as a woman.
Absolutely. So my grandparents ended up going to 2 different churches, which I thought was interesting in Jamaica, right? Because we have different faiths. And what I've noticed from a child is that we've allowed commercialism to get into our faith traditions, right? Because we're so locked into I'm Baptist, I'm Methodist, I'm Episcopalian, instead of being locked into relationship with God. So I watched just different dynamics in my family. And it ended up making my mother turn away from feeling like she had to go to church because it was so much pressure for her as a child growing up that when she was on her own, she kind of opted out. She tapped out of church for a little bit. And then when she met my pastor who has transitioned, something changed. And that spark, because once the seed is planted, it's planted. So my grandparents did plant the seed, but it took a while for her to build her own relationship with God. Now for me, whether she was going or not, that didn't make a difference to my grandmother because my tail was in Sunday school every single Sunday with my grandmother, going to her church with my cousins. And, you know, I would get them in trouble because they would fall asleep and I would tell, you know, wave my hand at the choir level. I was a mess, child, pray for me. But I was to go and develop learning the books of the Bible. And that Sunday school experience was important to me. So even though my mother wasn't going at that time, I was still being exposed to who God was. And then when she started going to church and I started going with her, I was going to church because that's what we did. And a lot of times you go to church as a child because you don't have a choice, especially if you come from a strong Christian West Indian background, you're going to church whether you like it or not. And I had to get to the point where I wasn't coming to church because my mother was making me. I was coming to church because I fell in love with Jesus. Like I need to know who he was for myself, right? Mm-hmm. That I wasn't, you just have to be here and pretend. And I think a lot of times we don't give that organic opportunity for that growth for a young person to really just know God loves you. He's the coolest thing around. Like, he's not just going to knock you upside the head if you do something wrong. He loves you. He wants you to learn from your mistakes. He wants to protect you from the evils of the world. Mm-hmm. And there was a point in college where I was going out, you know, it's college. You're going to go out and have a good time. And then I was singing in the choir, getting in like, ooh, okay, I got to get to church. And like, you in church and you're nodding like, ooh, okay, Lord, either thank God for the songs. We getting up. And my pastor said to me, you should be bringing your friends in, not them taking you out. You're going to have to choose. Sir. And I was like, did she just come for me? But it was a reckoning, right? It was a moment to say, that's wow, right. I can't live two lives, right? Either I serve God or I serve man. And it's not to say that you can't have a good time or you can't you know, go out and socialize with your friends, but what are you making Lord over your life?
Yes, that's it.
It's mastering you. So if you're so consumed that you have to be at every party, everything, it takes away from you having time to really build relationship with God. And that was a turning point in my faith journey. Was like, oh my goodness, I'm convicted. Like, you know, I really have to reset this. I can't just keep showing up to church with one eye open because I done partied hardy all Saturday night, but I just want to make it into the building, right? To say that I'm in church. And that helped me to just want to know a little bit more about what God's word was saying to me. And then the ultimate pivot, ladies, was when she transitioned in 2009. My whole world was woo, because you know, when you are under an anointed ministry, and you know, the prayers are going through. Well, I'll just speak for myself because everybody listening, they might be so good that you know, it don't happen to them. You depend on somebody else's prayers because you know that prayer's going through. Now, some people pray and it don't even bounce up off the floor, honey. It can't even penetrate heaven. So it was like having this go-to covering over my life all the time. I just knew I would have that forever. But she... there's so much I can say about that. That's a whole nother show about what God was revealing to her when he called her home because she prayed to go young. And it's so much about that relationship that she had with Christ that has encouraged me through my grief of not having her here, but understanding, she said, you have to build your relationship with God for yourself. You can't look to the left, look to the right. You have to look up to God. You have to know who he is in your life. And when she transitioned, I had to stand on my own too, right? I couldn't borrow somebody else's testimony. I had to really go back into all of the sermons that she taught, all of the teaching, the Bible study. It started to become revelation to me because anybody can read the Bible. right? Anybody can say that they serve God. The devil can walk in the church and cut his tan, but can he live the life? Can he do what we can? No, he cannot, right? He can't, because he has fallen from grace and he wants to distract us from our inheritance. So my growth and my faith journey got strengthened through the grief and loss of understanding that while physically she's not here, spiritually, she never dies. Like, are we a spirit beings having a human experience? But God is just waiting for us to build intimacy with him. She would always preach, are you acquainted? Right? Do you just know him, or are you acquainted with him? And I used to just listen, and I'm like, okay, that makes sense. I mean, I know God. Like, I got a PhD in church. I've been in here since a baby.
Listen.
Yourself with God is an opportunity for us to grow, right? And grow in our understanding of who God has called us to be. Because if he told me some of the things he got me doing now, I'd have been like, nah, I don't know about that, bro. We might have to give you some recommendations for somebody else. But it's a part of how he set you up, because he knows he can only show you a little bit. And then as you move in faith, you get more. It's like that movie, oh Lord, with the explorer guy that's walking on the steps and they don't appear until he moves.
Oh my goodness. Indiana Jones?
Indiana Jones. I was dating myself. Right. So that's the faith journey, right? That analogy that the steps didn't appear until he put his foot out. And as you are walking through your faith journey of understanding who God has called you to be, you got to put your foot out. You got to take action, right? And that's why he gave me one of my first books talking about action, action, despite the distraction. The enemy's going to try to get in your head. He's going to try to tell you, why are you doing Truth Table? Why are you doing these talks? Nobody wants to hear this. He a lie from the pits of hell, because you're setting people free by this podcast. You're opening up conversation to transform and renew the minds of those listening so that we can truly function in the capacity that God has called us to. So my faith is unapologetic. I tell people, you might not know Jesus. Maybe you're not interested at this moment, but if you're around me, a piece of Holy Ghost is going to fall off on you, honey, because that's just how I move. And I don't have to force you to want to get in a relationship with God. I should be living the life that you're curious enough to want to know, well, what is she talking about? What is Dr. Christina saying? What is Dr. Kimmy saying? Why are they always talking about this faith as a thread and a covering? That is what ministry is, so that they can come into the understanding of who they are. So leading our organization, I'm unapologetic about reminding my members that we started as a Christian organization. And while we are respectful for all of those who might have come to our organization because they believe in what we do, it doesn't negate that the foundation of who we are will remain solid as I lead and will be encouraging us for another 105 years. So I know I said a lot.
No, it was right on time. It was right on time, Dr. Grant. Exactly. And you know, I hope that people were listening in really well to what you were sharing about getting acquainted with this God who is Emmanuel, God with us, the God who comes for us and sits with us and comforts us and sings lullabies over us. Do you know that God? And that's the one that saves and sets free. We're going to pause for just a moment, take a little break, and we'll be back with Dr. Grant, who is schooling us today. And we're going to talk a little bit about sisterhood in this time of needed resistance. So we'll see you in just a moment. Does anyone really know what hormones do? There's so much talk about women's hormonal health, but most women are left even more confused about what it means for them and what to do about it. The confusion ends now. Hormone Harmony is a game changer for women struggling with hormonal imbalances that leave them exhausted both physically and mentally. It only contains science-based ingredients that bring back comfort, energy, clarity, confidence, and a sense of balance. Happy Mammoth, the company that produces Hormone Harmony, is famous for its zero compromise policy. No GMOs, artificial fillers or flavors, or any other junk. Only science-backed ingredients in amounts that are clinically proven. What makes this formula unlike anything else on the market is that it tackles multiple hormone imbalances at the same time, creating a cascade of benefits all throughout the body and mind, leading to a better mood, more energy,
easier weight management, and deep comfort. Hormone Harmony has over 50,000 raving reviews from women all over the world, with 98% of them saying they'd gladly recommend it to their friends and family. So for a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code TRUTHSTABLE at checkout. Our NAACP Image Award nominated book, Truth's Table, Black Women's Musings on Life, Love, and Liberation, is making waves and shifting culture. I closed this book feeling like I had just partaken in a multi-course meal, filled with grace and the courage to carry on. And I believe you'll finish this book feeling the same way. Morgan Harper Nichols, artist and poet. Buy Truth's Table, Black Women's Musings on Life, Love, and Liberation, at our website or wherever books are sold.
As you can see, we're not good for asking for money, but we are asking for money today, and here's why. In order for us to bring the content that we've been bringing to you for years at this point,
8 years,
we've got a whole background of folks who are talented and gifted and loving people who we have to pay to make these things happen, as well as ourselves. And we want to keep bringing great content to you. We are in a desert of truth right now. There seems to be lots of lies happening.
Lots of lies.
And so if you support the idea of promoting truth in any way, shape, or form, we invite you to partner with Truth's Table and become one of our Patreon supporters.
Yes, actually, when you become a supporter, you actually get the episodes a couple days before the rest of the world.
You get truth early.
Yes, you get to speak to, you know, of course, communicate with us, let us know your thoughts about the episode. And of course, we will be having some more private discussions about things going on in pop culture. In politics, all the things.
Nothing.
2025 is very normal.
Nothing,
I don't know.
Nothing,
whatever.
Nothing.
Figment of my imagination.
Nothing to see here.
We'll be talking about the thing. So anyway, join our community today, and thank you for sitting at the table with us all these years.
Bye, y'all.
So we are back at the table, y'all, and we are joined by a very special guest today. Dr. Grant is here schooling us and pointing us to Jesus and talking about the beauty and power of sisterhood at a time such as this. And so that's what I want to talk with you about. I mean, when you think about the history of Zeta Phi Beta and really the other sorority, right, BGLOs, and this is the early 1900s. We're talking about a epidemic of lynchings. We're talking about one generation post-enslavement. We're talking about people who literally, who had, you know, an aunt who was still carrying freedom papers.
That
and one. And this is the people who are like, let's build something that will last a long time for the freedom of our people and for the good of all people, to have that kind of imagination. Tell us why sisterhood is incredibly important for the moment that we're in light of the political moment and just the need to resist injustice.
Absolutely. So two things come to mind when you talk about the time and the era. In the 1900s, where we weren't wanted on anyone's campus. The threat of our intelligence continues to plague this country, right? Because they knew there was an injustice happening with not even wanting us to read and to matriculate and to do all the things that we subsequently were able to do. When we finally made it to institutions, there were still challenges. There was still not open welcome arms. So that's why there was a need for our historically Black universities and colleges. And not all of us were founded on HBCUs, but the majority of us that were knew that there was another layer of support, that the sisterhood meant once you're in, we have to make sure you make it to the finish line. And bringing together the groups and organizations help to create a common space for vulnerability, for protection, for studying. You know, let's just break it down, just to study and make sure that everyone had an understanding of what they were doing so that they could matriculate and graduate. So on the base level, it was about how do we build community to insulate us from the craziness outside in the world? How do we build community so that we can create some scholarship opportunities for those who might not have the same resources and financial capacity to get through school? How do we build community so that we can serve those who might not get on a college campus, who might not have that experience, but there's a desire to give back because to whom much is given, much is required? How do we build community that we know when you're going through a rough patch that your sister not only will fix your crown, but will help you build a crown, right? So when you think about sisterhood, it's about how we all come together under like values and expectations so that we can move the needle forward in progress for all of us. And yes, I am the international president and CEO of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated, but I'm also the vice chairwoman, and come September will be the chairwoman of the D9 Council of Presidents. So that's all of our organizations. And when we talk about hashtag D9 Stronger Together, it's not just a hashtag. It's about how we're intentionally creating space for collective action, because we've all chosen different means to the same end. All of us focus on scholarship. All of us focus on service. All of us focus on sisterhood and for the fraternities, brotherhood. So when we come together, we've just chosen different ways to package it, different ways to deliver it. But we all are collaborating around the same necessary entity, and that strength and relationship. God didn't put us on this planet to do life alone. He put us on this planet to do life in community. So your faith-based institution where you go to church, where you fellowship, that's part of community. That's part of what he puts you there for, so that you can be strengthened, because there are times when the enemy is going to and fro seeking whom he can devour. So you have to have some folk around you that can pray you through, pray you up in the moments where you can't even utter the words. It's just Lord, he understands the Lord. And he puts people around you that can encourage you, that can pray you through. And it's not just for those of faith. It's anyone who understands the power of women coming together. When we think about the experience that we had, brutalized, murdered through the transatlantic slave trade, but those who survived, they still had to survive slavery. So they had their own customs that they were trying to hold on to and remember about what they did on the motherland. When they came together, the women knew how, all right, she's preparing to have a baby. We need to do X, Y, and Z. We knew how to stretch food, to make food out of things that they thought were scraps. It was the sisters coming together. There was a special sisterhood around how to support the men when they went through whatever challenge and situation that they had going on. So the power in collective action and the power in building relationships, that is what has sustained us throughout history and has created a space and an opportunity for us to truly grow together. So that is what makes it unique, particularly for Black women, because of our shared lived experiences, we can relate on a deeper level of what it takes to just survive.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Absolutely. You know, Dr. Grant, I'm so moved, not only by your passion, but also your conviction, your faith conviction. And I will be remiss if I do not say out here on this show that I am surrounded by amazing women of Zeta Phi Beta, my bestie, my sister, my cousin, and my friend. They are all Zeta. So I just want to say that, although I myself am not in a sorority as of yet, I've always had great respect, honestly, for the D9. And I'm curious, you know, you talked about the foundation of the organization being based, you know, on faith, right? Christian faith, to be specific. I would love if you could speak to the sister at the table. There are, or has of late, been some Christians that have felt like, oh my goodness, is there a conflict? That have genuine questions about, can I serve God? Can I follow Jesus? And also join a sorority and also join a fraternity? Is there a conflict there? Am I somehow being double-minded? And there's some people that have real questions about that. Dr. Grant, as a woman of faith, who is, you know, the president of Zeta Phi Beta, I would love for you to speak into that and speak to that sister who might feel some conflict, who's genuinely confused about, can I do both? How?
Absolutely. And I love that you've asked that question, because this is about truth talks, right? This is about having frank conversations. And sometimes the conversations you have with family can be difficult, but necessary. So for me, the understanding that I would like sisters at the table to really hear when I share is that nothing should come before God for those of faith, period, right? So it's, you can only serve one master. And for those of us that understand that, also understand that we work in all sorts of constructs with government, with, you know, municipalities. There are things you have to pledge allegiance to the flag. You have to take an oath to go on jury duty. If you're a medical doctor, the Hippocratic Oath is something that you take. So are opportunities for you within the human constructs, within what happens in the world. There are just certain processes and procedures that you align with. So coming into the organization, I can only obviously speak for mine, but I can speak generally for all of my colleagues that there is nothing that would put you in a position to put organization before God. What you have opportunities to do is to commit to the ideals and the understanding of how you execute your work as a collective group. And that is something that you share with one another, and those who are not in the organization wouldn't understand or be able to share because they have not experienced what those universal morals, values, standards are, because they're just not members. But it's nothing that would supersede your fidelity to God, period. I wouldn't be a part of an organization that was giving me a one-way ticket to hell, because with the heat wave that has been happening, Hades is not for me.
Listen.
Right? So I am going to be very clear that I want my one-way ticket into heaven, period. And I'm not going to let anything obstruct that, because as I tell my members, being a Zeta is not going to guarantee me a spot in heaven. What guarantees me a spot in heaven is doing what God's will is and being obedient to that.
Amen.
So I hope that answers your question.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Dr. Grant. And you know, and we realize in the work that we do that that conversation bubbles up at particular social and political moments that it, that in the sense of that conversation about, can you be a devout believer and be a member of a BGLO specifically? We don't hear that as it relates to Black folks who are a part of predominantly white sororities or fraternities. Right. So there's a particular, I think political disenfranchisement and removing solidarity in attacking members of those organizations. And again, anything that you're a part of, you need to have a clear conscience. You need to always be discerning, amen, to whatever you're a part of. But with that being said, there is, I would say, an attack, an anti-Black, an anti-African, an anti-Black educated people. I mean, like, there's just a lot of, and it's a particular political wave that happens. And we saw it in our work in Technicolor with all the denouncings and all these pieces. And so it is certainly in the context of my experience as an Alpha Kappa Alpha woman that, you know, one of the people who discipled me was an AKA in college, and who helped me to see Jesus brightly and vividly in some unique ways. And so the Lord is using members of all kinds of organizations and members who are outside of them to point him to himself.
I want to jump into something that you said, which I think is very important for the sisters at the table to hear, that not only is the weaponization of who we are and what we stand for under attack, in our organizations, not everybody believes the same thing, right? So it's not a monolith. So while I'm faith-based, a good majority of my organization may be faith-based. Some may be agnostic. Some might be, you know, totally like, that's not me. Or it could be so many different things that we could break down, because discernment is what I want to pull out of what you said, right? Yeah. So depending on how you come to the table, that's what you're going to bring with you. So ministry is a continuation of your daily walk and talk. So discipleship doesn't just happen on Sunday. You know, ministry just doesn't happen on a Tuesday night Bible study. It's every day that you're influencing those around. And with the spirit of discernment, you know what and what should and shouldn't be done that are in alignment with you. And you can be unapologetic about that. But be very careful in how people twist and handle the word deceitfully, how people try to manipulate religion to create conflict and barriers. We can see what's happening now, right? So this opportunity for truth and the talks that you are doing with mm-hmm. these truth talks, it gives mm-hmm. people, hey, let me pause and think about this a little bit differently, yeah. right? Let me do a little bit more investigation, because you can choose to say what you want to say, because if you want yeah. something to fit, you'll rationalize it to fit that way. But the truth is the truth is the truth. And the only judge is God. He knows yeah. the heart. He sits high. He looks low. He sees all things. He knows all things. There's nothing hidden from his sight. So I would rather spend my energy on uplifting the positive work we do and those with a fidelity to God in that work, because what you focus on expands. And I'd rather give my energy to how we're being the light in a dark world than letting people consume me with their version of what they believe is darkness.
Absolutely. There's work to be done. There is mm-hmm. work to be done. You know, and I'm curious, as again, we have our audience is listening in, and obviously we take sisterhood seriously. We're sisters in Christ.
We are.
And we take this idea of the power of women working together in unity with integrity towards a noble cause, right? And so what wisdom would you provide to our listeners right now who are looking out at the political landscape that we're in, the sorrow, the despair, the intentional chaos at every turn, the bombardment of it? What would you say, what advice, what wisdom would you provide for them about what to do in this next moment? How can they catalyze the power of sisterhood? And what would be some of the first things that they should do?
That's a loaded question, Dr. Christina, but I'm going to do my best.
Yes, you can. I know you can do this.
That is a loaded question, because so many things are flooding my mind. One, the first thing is be aware of the intentional distractions, right? Because it's smoke and mirrors. There are bigger things at play with AI, with technology that they're trying to control, with creating chaos, with creating and ensuing alleged wars. That is to distract from some of the behind the scenes of manipulating our information, removing pieces of our democracy little by little, right in plain sight, people not reading what's in these bills, because typically bills are quite involved and quite large, but they're putting in pieces of legislation. That's what everyone needs to be aware of. What's in the legislation that changes the game and turns back the progress we've made for over six decades? So it's finding the correct sources to vet information. You can't, just because it's on Google and TikTok does not make it law. You have to be able to understand where the credible sources of information are coming from,
right,
and how you can do your own due diligence in investigating and using your critical thinking skills to allow for you to get the right answers. Now, doing that alone is a heavy lift. Collectively working with organizations and groups like Win with Black Women, like our D9 sororities and fraternities, like National Council for Negro Women, like the NAACP, coming together across collaborative arms of service, we can give you what you need for us to protect ourselves as Black women. Not only just going after corporate entities that are dishonoring who we are and what we bring to the table, but protecting the sisters who work on the inside.
That's
so you
right.
have an in and out strategy, which is something that Reverend Siobhan Arline Bradley, one of my dear sisters and friends, that she reminds us of as NCNW, because NCNW is an organization of organizations. So it's all of our yeah. Black women-led organizations, mm-hmm. our leaders coming together to work collaboratively so we can disseminate the right information to our membership. So being a part of those opportunities really help you to educate yourself on how to deal with what's happening. The second thing that I would tell you is something that God laid in my spirit during COVID. It was something we never saw. We couldn't believe it. Everybody was like, what is happening? He said, acknowledge what you see, but trust what you know. Acknowledge that this moment right now doesn't feel good. Acknowledge this moment that we can all look at that meme that was going around with Black women sitting on top of the building smoking a cigarette while everything was on fire. Acknowledge that that's really how some of us feel. Trust what you know. What you know is trouble don't last always. What you know is God's word can't return unto him void.
Amen.
What you know is that we come from a line of resilient warriors. What you know is when Black women lead, things change. What you know is that we won't be on the silent committee. We will continue to raise our voices collectively so that we can see the action. Because if we don't, we will be the first generation to leave the next generation worse off than we found it. So it is always in our purview as Black women, in the sisterhood of what we have, is when we combine our energies and the best of you matches the best of me, we're unstoppable because we're reflecting.
That's right.
Of each other. There's no competition. Everybody has their space. Everybody has their gift and talent. And when we bring all of that, I call it a potpourri of brilliance. When we bring that all together, we truly change the dynamic of what we see. And it might not happen overnight, but we can't give up, right? Faith is the substance of things what? Hope for. The evidence of things not seen.
That's
so
right.
You have to move forward in the faith of knowing that you have a divine assignment. And that assignment is to honor God's will for your life and to work with those who he has carefully curated to in the circle of influence, to move the needle forward and to have truth talks
that
set us free.
Come on. Yeah. Come on. Thank you.
Oh, my goodness. Dr. Grant. Wow. What? I mean, I'm struck by you said, if we don't, yes, the Black women are sitting on that roof and sipping on their tea and whatnot. But if we don't, you know, step up and do what we need to be doing, then we will leave the next generation worse than the previous. Oh, my goodness. That is so sobering. And I hope you sisters are taking that in. Before we go, Dr. Grant, I could sit here and talk to you all day, but you're a busy woman. I'm just saying.
Very busy.
Very busy. Very busy. So, but we won't take too much more of your time. But I would love for you to talk to our sisters at the table. Let them know how they can join in on your work, follow you, whatever you would like to let them know.
Or even just be praying for you. You can even raise a couple prayer points for our prayer warriors to hear.
Absolutely. So first of all, definitely on social, you can connect with me. I've told people for years, I built social media all wrong and y'all still rocking with me and growing every day. But you can find me, Dr. Stacey N.C. Grant, and that's S-T-A-C-I-E. Don't put a Y on my name. I might black out. But Dr. Stacey N.C. Grant on Instagram and Facebook and Stacey N.C. Grant. It'll show up, Dr. Stacey N.C. Grant, but you'll see it there. But here's what I really need. I need my prayer warriors on the wall for me because we're building the Faithpreneur TV network. So this is going to be our global network where I'll have truth talks on as well, right?
Just
building this piece for us to be able to share in every industry because there's nowhere where God is not. And that's been the growth for Destiny Designs University, building the resources and the capacity for Faithpreneur TV to take over. So when you think about CNN, MSNBC, BET, Lifetime, all of it, coming under the umbrella of faith. So I need everyone's prayer. We have a visionary campaign that folks are contributing to, but just keep in prayer the work that God has for me to do in this space, right? And to be able to work with others in creating opportunities for global visibility, not just here in the United States, but throughout the diaspora with the content that will include a lot of business information, but we focus on three areas, revenue, relationships, and resources. And then we top it off with honoring your temple. Because if you don't take care of yourself, you can't be here to help anybody else. So we've done the first leverage launch of Faithpreneur TV on Irie Jam Radio, taking it back to my Caribbean roots. So I have a show every Sunday, 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. On iriejamradio.com. It streams everywhere. But if you're local to the New York City tri-state area, it's 97.1 FM HD3. So that's where you see it being built out. Keep in prayer the movement, the capital that we're raising to really put this out in a very unique form with traditional TV, streaming, social, cable. We're getting the word out to the four corners of the world and inviting everyone to come in and collaborate with us as we are God's hands and feet here on this earth, making things happen and doing His will, his way. And of course, as I leave my organization, just follow Zeta Phi Beta everywhere, and you'll see the work that we continue to do to serve our communities and ensure the vision of our founders go forward. So it's an honor to be able to share all of that with you. I could be in your space forever. You two are amazing. When I say amazing, because of your heart, because of your desire to be a blessing, I pray that Truth Talks continues to just grow exponentially, that it touches so many more hearts and lives, because other women need to have safe places where they can consume information, have a little fun, and be targeted on their focus, on what their legacy will be here on the planet. And I'm honored that I could say I was hanging out with Dr. E and Dr. C on Truth Talks, having a wonderful time.
Well, you know, Dr. Grant, we are so honored that you had took a seat with us at the table. You made time, and you've always been so warm. You've let your light shine, which is why we gravitated, you know, toward you. We're like, why don't we have Dr. Grant at the table?
Absolutely. So,
thank you for accepting the invitation to join us on Truth's Table. We know our listeners are going to be over the moon, particularly my family and our sisters and all of our Zeta friends. Okay,
listen, and my Sigma daddy. We got you.
My brother will be happy. Well, I am thrilled. Not only for my source to be happy, but all my D9 family, you know.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I give my love free and spread it out all over, because I truly believe in the power of unity.
That's right.
Talk about sisterhood, and what we need to do is support each other, because we don't know what everyone's going through. Everyone has different challenges. Either you're coming out of it, you're in the middle of it, or you're heading towards it. Just keep That's living. Right. But That's having right. sisterhood, there's nothing like knowing I can depend on another sister. And it doesn't, you know, just focus on your organization affiliation. It's because I see you as a melanated, brilliant woman.
Amen.
As your divine assignment. And that's right. To me, transcends all, because that's how you share God's love.
That's right.
Amen. That's right. That's well, right. You lead the way.
That's right. That's right. Well, we want to thank our sisters for taking a seat at the table with us this week. Let's keep the conversation going. Share your thoughts about this episode, Still Resisting. Sisterhood is resistance. This episode, you can talk to us on Instagram, Threads, Facebook at Truth Table, or email us your thoughts at asktruthtable@gmail.com. Black women, Truth Table has a Facebook discipleship group, so make sure you follow Truth Table on Facebook and join our Facebook group today. Invite your homegirls too. Don't forget to rate and review the show on iTunes and subscribe on your favorite podcast player. Oh, and watch us on YouTube, y'all. Truth Table has a Patreon account, so you can send your love offerings to patreon.com/truthtable, or you can bless us at our PayPal, which is paypal.me/truthtable. Truth Table's audio producer is Joshua Heath. Our video producer is Daryl Bradford, and Truth Table's executive producers are your hosts, Ekemini Uwan and Christina Edmondson. We'll see you soon on the next Truth Table. Bye, y'all.